Hey everybody, this is Harriet Kemmick, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And a few weeks ago, we began the month of January of 2024 by talking about the fast. And we discovered the story in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. That's the concentration that we're using. So for the entire month of January, we are doing one meal per day, eating liquids, obviously having liquids in between, depending on your health. And depending on your doctor's own instructions. But if you can, we had invited you to join us on this fast where we're having just one meal per day. We're believing God to undo the heavy burdens, to loose the bands of wickedness, to save and set the oppressed free, and to destroy every yoke. That's what we're believing God for, those four things. So today, I am revisiting Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. And there are some salient points there that I need to bring out about church leaders, about people who are leading in the church, the current state of affairs, where they are, and the fatal consequences of their actions. So today we're going to talk about they make a mockery of the fast. They make a mockery of the fast. Who does? Well, we're going to find out in just a minute. So as usual, we're speaking from the New King James Version of the Bible, the text, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. But before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about who I am. If this is your first time, my name is Harriet Kemmick. I am an author and speaker. I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization that provides relief services to victims of human trafficking and for women who are fleeing violence from intimate partners. So for more information, go to our website, theexodusfoundation.com. In addition, I'm also the host of the Down to Earth podcast, and you can find more information about us on Spotify, Google, Apple, wherever there's a podcast platform in the world. We know that you can find us and listen to our broadcasts as well. And for those joining us by television, we are on select public access channels throughout the country. So thank you so very much for those of you in Atlanta, for those in Dayton, Ohio, and Holland, Michigan, and so on. We're so very grateful that you take time out to be a part of this podcast. So I want to talk with you just a little bit about the state of affairs and how these folks who are the church leaders are making a mockery of the fast. But first, let us bring you into the scriptures, and it's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. So let us read it in your hearing. Sorry about that. And it says in Isaiah 58, verse 6, New King James Version, it says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me decrease so that you might increase. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I pray right now for someone watching, for someone listening, that they get an answer to the very yoke that they need to break. I pray that you break yokes of sickness and disease, that you break yokes of mental unwellness, that you break yokes of anguish and family violence, break yokes of violence in our communities, violence in our homes, that you break yokes of poverty off the backs of people, that you separate us from poverty, that you separate your people from lack. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace to the four corners of the earth. We demand that the angels of peace be dispatched to the leaders of this world, and that peace becomes the language of the people. Peace in Israel, peace in Gaza, peace in the Ukraine, peace on earth, and goodwill to all men. We pray for peace in the White House, peace in your house, peace in my house. Let the voice of peace reign. And we ask you and speak correction to every leader, every church leader who has gone astray, who has gone off track in the name of Jesus. We command right now that either they come back on track and apologize to the people, or they remove themselves from leadership. Make no mockery of the name of our God. In Jesus' mighty name, I speak to people who have to go to work tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, provide for them. Iron it out, that wicked supervisor, that wicked boss, that wicked CEO, the big tech brothers who feel that they control us, who feel that it's up to them. The inflation that has become a harbor to us, that is on our backs, impoverishing people and pushing people down. In the name of Jesus, we break every yoke. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So we're here this morning in this particular strain of Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, to undo the heavy burdens. And we're talking about it from the context of they make a mockery of the fast. Well, you're going to say, well, Harriet, who makes a mockery of the fast? The bishops, the pastors. They're the ones who are making a mockery of the fast. All of them, including the ones who are power-bottoming for rappers, including the ones who had nightclubs in the church on New Year's Eve and who had comedy shows in the sanctuary, in the same place where they worship God. Those very same people, they're the ones whom God is going to charge. There are fatal consequences that are coming to you for profaning the name of God. Make no mistake about it. Just because we're not in the Old Testament days when the priest would go into the sanctuary, remember that? And he had to have bells on the hem of his garment so that the people could hear that he was not consumed by the fire of God. Just because we're in the dispensation of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ does not give you the power, does not give you the authority to go and profane the name of God. Now, how are you doing that? Well, you come to the people and you tell the people, I am bishop. So you accept all the honor and the privilege that comes with a title. You want people to bow down before you as you walk into the sanctuary. You want people to call out your name. Hail thou Bishop John Brown. Hail thou Bishop so and so. You like it. In fact, you get a kick out of it, don't you? You get a thrill out of it. I wonder if you were thinking about the name and title of bishop when you were power bottoming for that rapper. When you are also having other men in your... I'm talking to all of you. Yes, there are fatal consequences because you are responsible for the young people and all the people who are now going to walk away from God because they can't believe that you, the representative of the God that they think they know, was found to be doing things that you should not be doing. So don't come now and say, oh, well, have mercy on me or have grace on me. Were you thinking? You must recognize that you are not alone. When you take on this title, when you take on this position, you must live your life in such a way. So I'm going to tell you about me. So before you jump crazy, I'm going to tell you about me. So I am a woman. I am single. I'm a heterosexual woman. I have sex with men. But I have not because what? I keep coming here to tell people about God. So what do I choose to do? When temptation comes and I want to be with someone, I'm not married. See, I don't have on a wedding ring. I can't because guess what? I have to live this out loud. Is that difficult? Yeah, I'm human, aren't I? Don't you think I would want to be with someone? Yeah, so why do I choose not to be? I'm not going to profane the name of God. That's my choice because I have a public who is listening to me and are watching me and they're judging me by my actions and they're looking at you and say, but she is going to be just like you. No, I'm not. I won't be power bottoming for anyone unless they put a ringy on the dinghy. And as a woman, I'm supposed to be married to a man. Come on now. So far be it from all of you preachers who are having your girlfriends and your boyfriends show up in the church and claiming that they're having relationships with you, but you choose to come in there on a Sunday morning, let me warn you. We might think the days of the Old Testament are over, but I'm warning you right now. God is going to charge one of you one of these fine days. You're either going to have a heart attack while you're standing on the stage holding on to a mic, or you're going to be consumed by fire. Watch my words, because you are doing what? Not only are you profaning the name of the Most Holy God, guess what is the worst part? The people who need God and who are desperate for a revelation and desperate for a demonstration that God is real, you have robbed them of it. So now what will people do? last night I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about it because 20 years ago, that was me. I needed help desperately. I needed God. It's almost 30 years old because I'm almost 60, right? I was 30 years old and I needed God. I was in a desperate situation. What was the desperation? I was being beaten up by the man I was married to. You know what saved me? What gave me hope for the future? It wasn't all the books that I went to the library and read. It wasn't the Oprah show with all the self-help gurus. Nope. What saved me was the Word of God. I could turn the TV on and I would just be channel surfing and come across some preacher guy, some preacher girl, preaching how God loves me and God will help me if I put my trust in Him and if I put my faith in Him. It was as simple as that. I started to listen to it, and over again, I started to believe. Eventually, I got the strength on my own to walk away from that destructive marriage and saved my life. Are you hearing me? So now, young people today who might be caught up in drugs, addictions that are killing them, that are compelling them and compelling them to a lifestyle, they have what? No recourse, because you, Bishop, you have turned the people away. Because the people are now looking at you, and what are they finding out about you? That your private lifestyle, when the cameras are off, that your private lifestyle does not match up to the Word. And so what happens is that the people now don't know what to do. The people don't know where to go. And now they don't know where they're going. So I want to ask you this question. I am going to ask you this. Are you making a mockery of the fast? Because what I have found is that you folks don't believe in God. You folks don't believe in what you say. You use the name of God to go and collect money in the name of God. You act like it in the public. But your privacy, in your private lives, that's what's catching up with you. God is displeased. How He's going to show that displeasure, I guess you're going to find out. There are millions of people looking to you and looking at you as an example to follow. And what have you done but crush their hopes? So now what do they do when they're caught up and bound up in addiction? What do they do when they go to therapy for years and years? You all know that cognitive behavioral therapy does not work all the time. It is supplemented by what? Say, by synthetic drugs. They write prescriptions to help people. What really helps people is the power of a loving God. The saving blood of Jesus Christ is what breaks the yoke. So now, the people, you have cut off their access to that by your lifestyle. Now look at me. Yes, look at me. Yes, I have come as the prophet of God to tell you. I have come as the messenger to tell you you're wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And if you're still doing it and still on the stage, still telling people that that's a lie, stop it. There are more videos. There will be videos of everything that every one of you have done. And you're going to say, but it's going to wash out all the good works that I did. Seriously? Did you think? Because here's the thing. Just like I, a simple, unknown person, nobody knows me, I'm not famous, I'm not wealthy, I'm not a millionaire. Just like nobody knows me, and I have to be careful about what I say and do, is the same way that you should too. So what's going to happen next? You made a mockery of the fast. You come and tell people that they're to fast before God and God is going to do this. But you couldn't even think to fast from your own proclivities. You couldn't think to fast from the very things that push you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you think I'm not on a fast? So I'm coming to you and telling you to have one meal per day. Ask my children, how many meals per day am I having? The people around me, ask them. So then, if I, in my simplicity, can do it, how much more is the authority and the honor bestowed upon you that you choose to want, that you think shouldn't be done? Is this not the fast? You are making a mockery of the fast. Listen to me very carefully. None of us are excluded. So when you gather in your bishop groups, and when you gather in your little situations and you start talking about, oh, I have a storefront church. Well, you are not important if you have a storefront church. But I have 6,000 members, 2,000 members, 10,000 members, and I have all these young people coming in. That's how you boast about the work of God. Do you talk about how many people got saved? Do you talk about how many people were delivered from addictions and what follow-up services you provided to them? Do you talk about how people come in joyful, or do you manipulate people? Do you manipulate their emotions? Because that's what is happening. You want to be relevant. And man, you're not culturally relevant. We were never supposed to be culturally relevant. We're supposed to be called out. We're supposed to be different. The church is supposed to set the standard for the society to follow. So when people decide that they're going to get divorced and they're going to have multiple baby mamas, they're supposed to look at us and say, but that's not what that preacher said. That's not what the preacher says to do. That's what they're supposed to say. They're not supposed to find out that they and the preacher are partying at the same place. Now, you're going to say, but Harriet, what am I supposed to do? Am I not supposed to go out and have fun? Yeah, but within the context of who you are. You can't go to a... Look, when I go out with my family and so on, when they start getting real loud and I leave, that's the time for me to go. So they don't invite me to everything. Where they know they're going to drink and smoke and stuff, they don't invite me. Because they know by now that I'm what? Say, I'm not going to participate. That's what it costs to be the boss. So you might be sitting there saying, well, I want to roll with this guy. And if I'm famous, I should be like this movie star. You're not a movie star. You're neither a moving star nor a movie star. You are a servant of the Most High God. You are supposed to bend your knees to God, not bend your knees before a man or a woman. You are supposed to go on God and say, I need help. Fix this for me. You are supposed to go and say, God, help me and bring me out. If you find that you have a proclivity that somehow within you is not resolved, then you go and get help. You should not end up like Eddie Long. None of us need to end up like that. Not today. So go deal. I've been saying this for almost 10 to 14 years. Deal with your issues before they deal with you. So now here we are, and we have a problem. And the problem we have is that the practice of religion and religious practices have taken us over. So now we've become so practiced in the delivery of our religion and our religious practices, we have forgotten that we are supposed to be adhering to God in the first place. All we think about is the ritualistic and the rituals of it. We get up and we go to church. We get up and I show up with my entourage behind me. And I walk through the people through the marketplace like this. That's how we're acting. So our religious practices have become more important. Our titles have become more important. It's more important for people to see me in the street and say bishop and say pastor and to say apostle, first lady, second lady. While all that is going on, you have like 3, 4, 5 other ladies and boyfriends too. And what do we call ourselves? We still want to show up on a Sunday morning and go into other people's pulpits. I am warning you that you will be consumed. God is going to stop you and he's going to embarrass you and it's going to be public. Stop it. Go now before the people and apologize. Make it right with the people and apologize because you're wrong and you know it. You know what's the worst part? You know that you're wrong. You know you shouldn't do it. So you can't be saying, but Harriet, I want to be culturally relevant. Let me explain something to you. That's not our role. Culture is not our role. We are supposed to influence culture. Culture is not supposed to influence us. So we were wrong 20 years ago when we said in order to get the young people in, we were going to have to play the strobing lights and turn the place into a discotheque. Yeah, I'm 57, so I can say discotheque. The young people today probably say club, right? So you transformed the sanctuary into a discotheque. I was always against that, but it was me and a few others, like a voice crying in the wilderness, telling you it was never going to work. I heard one preacher from Atlanta say he's going to sell a weed shop on the church building. You know who he is. Stop it. I dare you to go ahead and sell the weed down there and see what will happen. You are opening the door for those same spirits on people to come and consume you. You are profaning and mocking the name of God, and you will pay the price. You know why? Because you're the one who God called. God called you. And as such, because he called you, you have a responsibility to make sure that you adhere to the purity of God. Listen to his command. So you have stress. So do the rest of us. You want to see mine? Hi. Look, I spray hair color to color my gray hairs. I am 57 and I look 57 now. The stresses of life have caught up with me. Why? That's how it is. It is life. What did you expect? You want to be a movie star? Step off the stage, bro. Step off the stage and go join the movie star club. But you can't be up here and be the movie star, because that's not what this is about. We're in a different time now. As you can see, we're in some sort of a revolution worldwide. It's slowly gathering momentum. We need voices to come out and tell the people what to expect. What is going to happen when governments start collapsing? When authoritarianism becomes the name of the day, even in our great country? Which one of you is now going to counsel the leader of this country? Which one of you is going to counsel the CEOs? None of you, because you have all been acting the fool. So now who will counsel the people? Who will tell the people? You? When you have given in to your proclivities, you think I don't have some? Baby, if it were up to me, every mall within a 100-mile radius would know my name. I kid you not. If it were up to me, oh, Jesus, don't let me start telling you. But you know what I have learned? I subject my will and say, not my will, but thy will be done. So we need to get back to this. Thy will be done on earth as it has already been done in heaven. We need to go back to saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom, not the kingdom of this, that, and the other, not the kingdom of me having multiple organizations, not that kingdom. Thy will be done on earth. Give us this day. Go back to start. Maybe we got too rich. So we need to go back to the stage where we start saying, give us this day our daily bread. Because we've been saying that it is not the will of God to be poor. But look what having more has done. It destroyed hope. Do you know what the church is supposed to be? Hope. People are supposed to feel so bad when they encounter all the wickedness that we have to deal with in the world, the wicked people who employ us, the people who don't want to pay us, they work us like slaves, they make us do all kinds of crazy things, destroy your marriages because you're forever never happy. And when you're driving past the church, you know what you're supposed to feel? A tug of hope that I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pray and God is going to answer. That's what is supposed to happen. But who are we going to pray to? The priest? Who were having sex with children? Is that who we're going to go pray with? Is that who is going to pray with me? Do I have confidence that those people can lift my prayer up to God? Is that the man who is up there holding up the microphone is the same guy I just saw in the club, or I saw him on the corner where the sex workers are? That's who I'm going to pray to? Or am I going to pray to the one who I saw on a video dancing with some famous rappers and singers? You are wrong. You see how you have destroyed the hope? So what are you going to do now that you've heard this? You have made a mockery of the fast. Then it's time for you to fast and come and tell the people that I made a mockery of it and this is how I'm going to change. Do that for you, not for the people. Do it for you. You need deliverance this time. You need the grace of God this time. Because trust me when I tell you, in this dispensation, it's about to wrap up. This dispensation is running out of time. Because Jesus is trying to say, Father, give them another time. Give me some more time to work on them. And God is like, I'm counting the days. Because look what you have done. The people need help. The young people are smoking weed, and the stuff they put on these things is giving them heart attacks out of this world. People have lost their hope. They're like, why is my son dying? Why is my daughter dying? Why is my marriage not working? Why this? Why that? No answer. And you cannot give an answer because you're more focused on making money, being a rich man. And when you start getting rich, now you understand why we weren't supposed to have that much. Now you understand why? Yeah, because when you do, you can't keep the focus on God and separate it. Your focus is on those people. And when you start associating and rubbing up with the wrong people, all those spirits jump off. And now what? And now what? Amen? Amen. So now, what you all do is you go and you blame God. But I do the right things. I fast and I do the right things, and God isn't doing it and he isn't working it out. No, the blame is on you and your lifestyle. So how does God deal with you? This is how he deals with you. So you come up to God. You haven't had a repentant heart in a long time. I believe that if you start saying, God, I don't know if he's going to answer right away, because he hasn't heard your voice in a while. So you blame God that I'm doing the right thing and I'm fasting and I make these attributions and it should be. That's not how any of this works. And this is God listening to you, waiting on you to become subject to his will. You can do it. Do it. We are wrong. We allowed you to be, because we celebrated you and treated you like a celebrity and uplifted you. And now we're reaping it. Now we have no hope, because our hope was in you making penance to God for us. And now here we are. And now here we are, all of us wondering what on earth is going to happen. What is going to happen now? Well, what is going to happen is that, having made a mockery of the fast, some of us are now fasting because you are absent at the switch. So now what's going to happen is God needs to hear your voice. So go before God and tell him, you know what, Father, I'm sorry. I made a fool out of this. I should not have done this. So I'm going to beg you for mercy. So while we're in this mode, let us pray. In the name of Jesus, having made a mockery of the fast, I am asking you, Father God, to forgive me. Help me. Please, oh God, take this burden off me. Take this proclivity off me. Take my nature off me. Fill me anew again. Wash me clean so I can go before the people and beg your forgiveness. Deal with me, oh God, in the areas of my life where I really need you to deal with me. Help me in Jesus' name. Because, amen, amen, we all need to go before God. We have made a mockery of the fast, and we all need to go before God and beg him for a mercy. Beg him for mercy. Amen. My name is Harriet Kemick. I thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Be blessed.